Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by the chaplain of the Senate and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
If you pray, please pray with me. God, we have lots of work to do, but you've also called us to build relationships. And in this world, that's a challenge. Years ago, a friend told me that his teenage daughter at that time screamed, "Dad, I hate you." And her dad replied, "It hurts me very much to hear you say that, but I'm still your father. I'd hope someday we could be friends. Still, I'll always be your father." God, you know he continued to father her. And now by your grace, they are friends. And so, Father God, by your own remarkable work, we may be friends with you. Of course, we attempt to stand back, but such distance is hard to maintain. As we begin to understand that you, Father, have heard our call and at great expense have loved so many of us, we are nearly speechless. God, grow us in your grace and truth. I humbly ask in your name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The secretary will take the roll. Senator Maggio. I see Senator McNally's online, so.
Here.
Okay.
Mr. President, 50 members are present.
The quorum is present. The Senate is ready for business. Without objection, we'll go to our business number two, reports to standing committees.
Mr. President, we are convening a judiciary report that House Bill 35 be concurred as amended. Senator Keith Regeer, Chair. Mr. President, we are convening on local government report that House Bills 49, 220, and 268 be concurred in. Senator Terry Gauthier, Chair. Mr. President, we are convening on public health, welfare, and safety report that House Bills 37 and 208 be concurred in, that House Bill 43 be concurred in as amended. Senator David Howard, Chair. Mr. President, we are convening on state administration report that House Bills 58 and 71 be concurred in, and that House Bills 34, 47, and 178 be concurred in as amended. Senator Doug Carey, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, the committee reports are adopted. Without objection, we'll go to our business number four, messages from the governor.
Mr. President Blaisdell, in accordance with Montana Code Annotated, I submit to you and the Montana Senate the following board appointments for confirmation. Sincerely, Greg Gianforte, Governor. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number five, messages from the other House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the following House bills were on this read three several times and passed. Tied on history, agreed to, and the hearing transmitted to the Senate for concurrence. House Bill 158, Hinkle. House Bill 170, Welch. House Bill 432, Gunderson. That the following Senate bills were on this day read three several times, heard in title and history agreed to, and the hearing returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 18, Solomon. House Senate Bill 22, Solomon. That the following Senate bills were not concurred in on third reading, and the bills are heard with returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 57, Pomnikowski. Sincerely, Carolyn Cheetah, Chief Clerk of the House. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number six, first reading commitment of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 375, Senate Resolution 92, House Bills 158, 170, and 432 have been introduced and read first time and referred to committee. House Bill 273, 562, 257, and 517 have been referred to committee. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number seven, second reading of bills, Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself into a committee of the whole for consideration of business on second reading.
For the motion, Senator Smith, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. I appoint Senator Friedel, Chairman of the Day.
Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have before you and under your consideration Senate Bill or House Bill 290. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 290, introduced by Cheetah, a bill for an act entitled creating the Self-Storage Insurance Act, providing for insurance licensure for operators of self-storage facilities, providing rulemaking for the Commissioner of Insurance, providing requirements for brochures and materials explaining self-storage insurance, providing for applications and fees to sell self-storage insurance, providing for operator license penalties, providing rulemaking authority, and providing definitions.
Are there any corrections to the history of the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will now read the sections.
Sections 1 through 8.
Excuse me. Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 290. What is your pleasure? Senator Gauthier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 290, that I recommend it be concurred in.
Senator Gauthier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill was heard in committee, Business and Labor, and basically House Bill 290 creates a Self-Storage Insurance Act, allowing operators of self-storage facilities, operators, to offer a self-storage insurance to their renters, requiring operator licensure, and providing requirements for self-storage insurance and imposing a penalty for noncompliance. Basically, this is offering an opportunity for people that have storage units that don't have a homeowner's insurance policy or like a renter's insurance to actually, if you have goods in a storage unit in transition, to be covered by insurance. So the insurance can be sold by the operator that actually rents you the unit. It's a very low-cost policy. Normally, $2 to $3 a month will get you into a policy that will cover the goods in your particular units. So this is really nothing more than providing that opportunity to sell that insurance to the customer and protect our goods. So with that being said, I think it was a good bill. I heard it in committee, and I'll stand by for questions.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the bill? Seeing none. Senator Gauthier, would you like to close?
Hey.
Excuse me.
Wait a sec.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bolin.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to speak to the bill real quick, if I may.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, I was a really soft no on this bill, and I'll just explain to you real quick why. It seems to be working really well the way it is handled right now. The auditor's office came in to testify and mentioned that right now the process of providing this type of insurance has worked very well, and they haven't had any complaints on it. People can go into the rental units now, and they can purchase the insurance that is offered to them. And it can be billed on the same bill as their monthly fee for the unit. The auditor's office also mentioned that the self-storage industry came to them wanting to be able to sell the product themselves and to be licensed to do so. You know, this is this type of coverage is being provided already and without any complaints so far, and it should probably continue to go this way without creating another licensed business. So I was a soft no, and I thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a good bill. All it really does is it makes sure when people are selling insurance that they don't get hung up in the commissioner's regulatory process and be accused of being an unlicensed producer. I think it just clarifies the law. This is a good bill, and I'd hope you'd give it a green light. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Senator Gauthier, do you care to close?
Close.
The question now arises in the motion of Senator Gauthier that when this committee does rise and report after having under considering House Bill 290, it recommends the same do be concurred. As many as in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Those vote say opposed, no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 44 senators vote aye and 6 senators vote nay.
44 senators have voted aye and 6 have voted nay. House Bill 290 has been concurred. Members, you now have before you Senate Bill 308 for your consideration. The clerk will record the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 308, introduced by Wellborn, Walsh, and Sweeney. A bill for an act entitled Act Generally Revising Banking Laws, providing for the Mutual Savings and Loan Association Act, providing administrative hearing and penalties, providing criminal liabilities, providing for examinations by the department, providing for mutual associations, providing for department rulemaking, providing reports for the department, providing for confidentiality, providing prohibited practices, providing for formation of a mutual association, providing for department investigations, providing for articles of incorporation and bylaws requirements, providing for a certificate of authority to commence business, providing for conversion from federal mutual savings and loan to a state mutual savings and loan, providing for conversion into federal savings and loan associations, providing requirements of a state mutual association, providing requirements for membership in a federal home loan bank, providing for mergers of mutual associations, providing for sales of branches, providing for building a loan association, and requirements of providing for investment in certain securities, providing for certified checks, providing deposit requirements, providing general provisions, providing a department responsibility, providing formation and reorganization requirements, providing for operation and regulation, providing for dissolution, closing, and liquidation, providing for Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, providing for removal of directors or officers from financial institutions, providing rubric and authority, providing definitions, and repealing sections.
Whew. I was even having a hard time breathing. Are there any corrections to the history of the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will now read the sections.
Sections 1 through 137.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 308. What is your pleasure, Senator Wellborn?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does res and report having under consideration Senate Bill 308, that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, if you'll bear with me for just a minute or two on the front end of this thing, I think I can answer most of the questions that there may be. So, this bill is brought at the request of a federally chartered savings and loan institution in southwest Montana. They are a $100 million institution specializing in mostly home lending. I think one thing to note here is this institution keeps 100% of their paper inside of their institution. They don't sell any to outside companies. Basically what this does is it's allowing this, it's the last savings and loan left in the state of Montana to become a state charter. And the way that that works, there were several just a few years back that have converted to banks. The difference between a bank and a savings and loan is a bank has stockholders and a savings and loan has members, and these guys would like to continue being a member-owned institution. The reason they would like to get their state charter is so they deal with state regulators rather than having to answer to regulators that might come from San Francisco or Dallas, Texas, or Denver, Colorado, or Washington, D.C. to that, you know, anyway, probably don't know a whole lot about southwest Montana or customers in a bank, and these guys would just like to be able to do business the way that other banks in Montana do, and that is use local regulators when they choose to do so. Most of what is in this bill is cleanup language. The Department of Banking in Montana has worked very closely in redoing this, and it's just trying to update 100-year-old language and code. So most of this is just repeal and replace language. Basically, the meat and potatoes of what it does is what I just explained to you. I will sit down and try to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator Sweeney.
Mr. Chairman, if I can speak to the bill.
Proceed.
Mr. Chairman, body, we heard this bill in Business and Labor. This actually, one of the banks that this affects is in Deer Lodge, which is in my district. I've talked to people there. It's a good bill. It deals directly with these two banks in Dillon and Deer Lodge, who invest heavily into their community with, I think, 66% of the loans going to directly to housing, and most of everything else going to car loans and trailers and campers and things like that. They keep everything in-house. What else? It'll continue to be FDIC protected. It just gives them good Montana regulation and oversight, takes them out of the federal and dealing with people that know where Dillon and Deer Lodge and Montana is on a map. So I'd vote green.
Any other discussion? Online? Senator Wellborn, would you care to close? Senator closes. The question now arises in the motion of Senator Wellborn that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration the Senate Bill 308, it recommends the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does anybody wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators have been voted aye and 0 have voted no. Senate Bill 308 has passed. Members, you have before you, for your consideration, SJ 13. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
SJR 13, introduced by Heimbaugh, a joint resolution of the Senate and the House of Representatives of the state of Montana requesting an intern study on public contracts and prevailing wage law.
Are there any corrections to the history of the title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of this committee, you now have before you SJ 13. What is your pleasure, Senator Heimbaugh?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having on consideration SJ 13, that I recommend the same do pass.
Senator Heimbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the body, SJ 13 is a resolution that encourages a study bill on prevailing wages and zone pay for public contracts. Just a little background about this situation. We have 4 districts in Montana. They're called dispatch districts, or they're prevailing wage dispatch districts. And we've got 2 cities in 1 through 3, and we have 1 city in number 4, which covers a third of eastern Montana. And so everybody in eastern Montana is subject to zone pay, which is when you get past 60 miles from the dispatch city. And it doesn't just affect eastern Montana, but also affects northwest Montana and southeast Montana, or southwest Montana. And I think if you look at the map, you'll see that there's just to give you an idea of some population, there's eight Class E school or Class A schools that are their cities are affected by this zone pay situation. And what zone pay is, it just has a description here, and I'll just read it to you. It says an amount added to the base pay. The combined sum then becomes a base rate wage to be paid on all hours of the project. So basically, when you figure up all your hours, depending on the contractor, it's different for every contractor, but it's up to $6 an hour more for zone pay if you live 60 miles, or if your project is 60 miles away from a dispatch city. And just to bring it to layman's terms, I think I've talked about this before, but in the Ekalak, I think they built a school there, and it cost $3 million. I think the override or the zone pay cost them another $250,000. There's a project that went on in Glendive this year. It cost an extra $400,000. And that's everything, you know, I mean, that's common around the state, and I think it's a taxpayer bill, so our taxpayer study bill, and we need to study what's going on with this situation, and so I'd sure encourage your green light, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Heimbaugh, would you care to close? Senator closes now. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Heimbaugh that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration SJ 13, it recommends to be adopted. As many are in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye. Those are opposed, say no. Does anybody wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 46 senators vote aye and 4 senators vote nay.
46 senators have voted aye. 4 senators have voted no. SJ has been adopted. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 32. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 32, introduced by Vinton, a bill for an act entitled an act eliminating the implementation of ending fund balance limits, repealing section, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history of the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the
sections. Sections 1 through 2.
Member of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 32. What is your pleasure, Senator Temple?
Mr. Chair, I move when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 32, that I do recommend that be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator Temple.
This bill is shorter than most descriptions. Basically, what it does is it repeals part of the law 20-9-323, which is a relic of 2011 session. Basically, that part of the section has never been used, so it's outdated, and I ask for a green. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator Lang.
Mr. Chairman, a question for the sponsor.
Did the sponsor yield?
I often wondered if I didn't, what would happen?
Sponsors yield.
I will.
Senator Temple, could you explain to me what the definition of ending fund balance limits means?
Senator Lang, what that was a ending balance of some funds that were left over from the Bakken days, and that was never used, so there was never an ending fund. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, Senator Temple, would you care to close? Senator closes. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Temple that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 32, be concurred in. As many in favor of the motion signify by saying aye, those opposed say no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators have been voted aye, 0 have voted no. House Bill 32 has been concurred. Members, you have before you the consideration House Bill 33. The clerk will record the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 33, introduced by Vinton, a bill for an act entitled an act revising school funding laws related to anticipated enrollment increases, amending section, and providing an effective date and an applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of this committee, you have now before you House Bill 33. What is your pleasure, Senator Solomon?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 33, that it do the same be concurred in.
Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, this is at the request of the Education Interim Committee, and basically it's an act revising school funding laws related to anticipated enrollment increases. And basically what that means at the end of a school year, you have what's called unadjusted enrollment. In other words, you kick out the seniors, you try and figure out how many kindergartners you're going to have, and everybody moves up, and you try and figure out what your enrollment's going to be next year. And every school goes through that little situation. If they decide to adjust the enrollment, is what we call it, and that's when they take a look at everything, and if they decide they're going to have either 4% more or 40 students more, they are eligible to have an adjustment made by OPI. And then the actual enrollment will come in during the first count period that fall, and we'll see how close they come. And basically what happened is we want to put into, or codify, if you will, put into law how OPI does this. And it includes all the components of base aid now, as well as adjustments for special education allowable costs. And that basically is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Esp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for the sponsor, please.
Does the sponsor yield?
I yield.
Sponsor yields.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, the situation that we find ourselves in my area this year is a lot of students were educated online or by homeschool because of the virus. Most of those are anticipated to be coming back next year. Will this bill help with that situation?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, yes, it will. The issue was, did those homeschoolers stay enrolled in school or did they enroll in homeschool? If they enrolled in homeschool, when they come back next year, it will be a re-enrollment, if you will, and that will make the enrollment higher. If they were educated at home online or distance learning, they're still part of that school system. But the intent of this is, yes, it will help if they all show up. And the big question that we have with school funding is, how many of those students are going to come back and show up next year?
Thank you. Thank you, Senator.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Solomon, would you care to close? Senator Solomon closes. The question now arises in the motion of Senator Solomon that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 33 that it recommends that it do be concurred in. As many of the favor of motion signify by voting aye, those opposed vote no. Does anybody wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators have voted aye, 0 have voted no. House Bill 33 has been concurred. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 100. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 100, introduced by Hayman, a bill for an act entitled revising community college district audit requirements, requiring community college districts to contract with a private accounting firm for audits, requiring a community college district to provide estimated audit costs to the budget director and to pay for any costs not covered by legislative appropriation, amending sections, and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of this committee, you now have before you House Bill 100. What is your pleasure, Senator McNally?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 100, that it recommend that the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator McNally.
Mr. Chair and body, House Bill 100 is brought at the request of the Legislative Audit Committee, and it revises community college audit requirements. Currently, the legislative auditor is responsible for these audits and contracts with a public accounting firms. And in the last couple of years, the cost for these audits has exceeded the amount in the budget. And so they've been just sort of paying out of their carryover authority. So the division has been, audit division worked with representatives from the community colleges and the Office of the Commissioner of Higher Ed to identify options for avoiding this situation going forward. And community colleges propose contract management responsibilities be transferred to them, and they would anticipate using local connections may help them get a better price and develop long-term productive relationships with firms. So this is in section 2 of the bill, it addresses this. And then they also will continue to get general fund support as long as it's within the budget. And it does not, this bill does not result in any reduction in the level of legislative oversight of community colleges. Those audits will still be reviewed by the Legislative Audit Division and by the Audit Committee. So that's what the bill does, and I would recommend a do concur. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator McNally, would you care to close?
I close.
Senator closes. The question now arises on the motion of Senator McNally that when this committee does rise and report after under consideration, House Bill 100 recommends that it say do concurred in. As many other in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed say no. Does there any member wish to change his or her vote? Record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye and 1 senator votes nay.
49 senators have voted aye, 1 voted no. House Bill 100 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you in front of your consideration House Bill 141. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 141, introduced by Coe, Fitzpatrick, and Manzella, a bill for an act entitled generally revising vehicle and vessel title transfer laws, allowing for the time of death transfer of vehicle and vessel titles, providing for a beneficiary designation, specifying methods for revoking a beneficiary designation, specifying method of effecting transfer, specifying transfer as non-probate transfer, and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history or title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Section 1 through 4.
Members of this committee, now before you, House Bill 141. Is your pleasure, Senator Marzella.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 141, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Marzella.
Currently, Montana law allows for transferring homes, checking accounts, brokerage accounts, etc., upon death. The transfer of vehicles and vessels upon death is the last remaining item to create a straightforward and simple method so all assets can avoid probate and make your wishes known after death. Estate planning is not just for the rich. We all need to do it. This bill closes the missing link needed to allow Montanans, with or without legal representation, to complete an estate plan that can assure one's vehicle and vessel assets can avoid lengthy delays in transferring of the title and or, in some situations, costly probate. Recently, the Montana MSU Extension Service held a webinar open to the public concerning estate planning, and the presenter mentioned this bill and asked the sponsor to carry it. During the hearing process in the House Transportation Committee, the Department of Motor Vehicles provided us a clear and straightforward pathway for the TOD for vehicles and vessels to be successfully integrated into the department's process. As you look over the bill, you will see the intent of the bill in the new Section 1, lines 12 through 15, and the process that the department approved with their amendment apparent in capital letters. Thank you for listening to the compelling reasons for the change that state law is needed to allow the final piece of the estate planning to be available to the citizens of Montana. Please vote green on House Bill 141.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Rich closes. Senator closes. Senator Manzella, now a question comes arises in the motion of Senator Manzella. When this committee does rise and report after 100 consideration, House Bill 141, it recommends that the same do be concurred. As many other in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed say no. Does anybody wish to change his or her vote? Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators have voted aye, 0 have voted no. House Bill 141 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you the consideration House Bill 8-3. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 8-3, introduced by Dooling, A. Bilfrin Act, entitled Act in General Revising Vehicle Laws, Revising Special Parking Permit Expiration Dates, Revising Certain Definitions, Revising Travel Trailer Standards, Revising Odometer Reporting Requirements, and Amending Sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Section 1 through 3.
Members of this committee, you now have before you House Bill 83. What is your pleasure, Senator Vance?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill or House Bill 83, that the same be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, on the first page is a reference to extending the length of time that a special parking permit is allowed to be used. And on the very back page, there's an extension of the length of time that odometer statements have to be produced for vehicles at the time of sale, and everything in between is definition updates, and I ask for a due pass.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Vance, would you care to close? Senator closes. The question now arises, the motion of Senator Vance that when this bill, when this committee does rise and report after under consideration House Bill 83, that it does, that do recommend it to do say concur. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye. Those who oppose, vote no. Does anybody wish to change his or her vote? Senator Heimbaugh. Record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 48 senators vote aye and 2 senators vote nay.
48 senators have voted aye, 2 have voted no. House Bill 83 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 200. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 200, introduced by Buttrey and others, a bill for an act entitled prohibiting state agencies and local governments from enacting or enforcing certain policies concerning citizenship and immigration, requiring the Attorney General to investigate and enforce certain provisions, providing definitions, providing penalties, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history or title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 11.
Members of the committee, you now before you House Bill 200. What is your pleasure, Senator Regeer?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 200, that it recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator Regeer.
Members of the Senate, House Bill 200 establishes law prohibiting sanctuary cities in Montana. The main part of the bill is page 1, lines 22 to page 2, line 1. And if you take a look at them with me, I'll go over them briefly, starting with line 22, page 1. A state agency or local government may not enact, adopt, implement, enforce, or refer to the electorate a policy that prohibits or restricts a government entity, official, or employee from, line 24, sending to, receiving from, exchanging with, or maintaining for a federal, state, or local government entity information regarding a person's citizenship or immigration status for a lawful purpose. Also on line 26, complying with a notification request concerning the release of an individual if the request is lawfully made, or page 2, line 1, complying with an immigration detainer request. Sections 3 and 4 have the Attorney General involved. Sections 7 and 8 are penalties for noncompliance. Opponents claimed in committee hearing that this bill is not necessary, but the city of Helena and Butte Silverbow counties have resolutions on their books that contain sanctuary language, and Montana annually has cases that involve illegal immigration, mostly for drugs and illegal reentry. House Bill 200 does not require training for police or sheriffs in the intricacies of immigration law, and it doesn't mandate any particular activities by law enforcement officers in the field. Montana officers recognize that federal immigration laws are a potential tool to help them remove bad actors from our streets. House Bill 200 is not about anyone that is here lawfully. The governor's office was one of the proponents of this bill, and the purpose of House Bill 200 is to discourage illegal immigration into Montana, which helps protect the lives of Montana citizens. Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator Boldman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I ask a question of the sponsor?
Will the sponsor yield?
I yield.
Mr. Chair, the good senator from Kalispell. I heard in your remarks, Senator, references to sanctuary cities, but are there actually any sanctuary cities in the state of Montana?
I guess if you could say the ordinances of Helena and Butte Silverbow that allude to it, yes.
But did those municipalities actually ever codify that and become sanctuary cities?
I would have to look at their bylaws closer, but a resolution passed in Helena has that language in there.
Speak to the bill.
Proceed.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the body, this bill bugs me, which is why I'm standing up. There are no sanctuary cities in the state of Montana. None. Not one. There's been, as you heard the good senator reference, there has been conversations at council meetings about resolutions, but nothing's ever been codified. So, I printed this, the comeback plan. And there's some awesome ideas in here. I'm just gonna read this part. Oops. The path forward is clear. We need to get our economy going again, get Montana open for business, and get Montana's back to good-paying jobs. That's cool. Growing the technology sector, responsibility, developing natural resources. Encourage entrepreneurship. Reform our tax code. Boost tourism, trust, travel, and hospitality. This bill definitely doesn't do that. Review, repeal unnecessary regulations. Improve infrastructure. Buttes for that. Partner with tribal governments. The tribal governments came and vigorously opposed this bill. I could go on and on with really good ideas in the comeback plan. Let me tell you who the proponents were in the committee. There were two proponents for this bill. One of the two testified via Zoom from Bozeman, where he told the committee that he had just retired there from Los Angeles. He also told the committee that he had a graduate degree in immigration facts and policies, and went on to speak into somewhat sort of QAnon conspiracies. Two proponents for this bill. Let me tell you who the opponents were. All 127 towns and municipalities in the state of Montana. So all of your towns, all of your municipalities, they opposed the bill. The nonprofit that represents all 56 of our counties, all the counties opposed the bill. Lots of opponents, including the Montana Catholic Conference. The one that moved me to stand up today, though, was a letter signed by 100 religious leaders from around the state, from all denominations. They opposed this bill. So, we have no sanctuary cities in the state of Montana. We live in a state that borders Canada, and I assume this bill is not about the caravans of Canadians coming over the border. So is this bill about something else? Our counties opposed it, our cities opposed it, our religious leaders opposed it. What message are we sending today by passing this bill? You tell me. I respect each of your political differences. I've told you that. I believe that deeply. But this bill is not about political differences. It does nothing to make Montana better. It sends a horrible discriminatory message. All of the people in our communities, the cities, the counties, and our religious leaders say vote no. So, knowing that I told you there were two proponents, one, the QAnon guy, and the other, as the good Senator for Kalispell said, the governor's office. So, worried that this may go down 31-19, I thought I would say something to my little boy, who's upstairs. We looked these up last night. In Deuteronomy, it says, love the stranger. In Roman, it says, extend hospitalities to stranger. But my favorite is the Gospel of Matthew, who says, just as you did to the least of thee, you did to me. So, to my friends on the other side of the aisle, I would really, really like to get back to a comeback plan at some point, instead of bills like these, because this is a bill that does nothing for Montana. This is a bill that only harms people. Your people from your hometowns are telling you to vote no. So, discrimination, that's not a comeback plan. Thank you.
Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would the sponsor yield to a question?
Would the sponsor yield?
I yield.
Sponsor yields.
Senator Regeer, on at the bottom of page one, we're looking in section two, and then at the top of page two, where it says, the way I read this is if a person, let's say, has been arrested on a burglary charge or some kind of a theft charge, and he's being held, and then it turns out that he is actually in the country illegally and then is being held for ICE. Even though this is referring to Sanctuary City, if I read this right, if we pass that, then there is no issue with that person to continue to be held for Homeland Security forces to come and pick him up because he's an illegal alien. Am I reading that right, Senator Regeer?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I don't know. I would have to study it.
Well, that's how I read it.
Please address the chair.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. Mr. Chairman.
Do you still yield?
We're done. No. I would just like to make a statement that that's how I read it. So whether, regardless of your issues with Sanctuary City, I think it does provide. There have been several instances where this has come up in different cities across the state. So on that reason, I'm certainly going to vote yes.
Senator Weber.
Speak to the bill, Mr. Chair.
Proceed.
I just have to reiterate what the good senator from Missoula said. The tribes all came in against this. Now, you all know that we have had a horrible immigration bill, immigration status. It's a kind of a joke there. But, you know, we have sister tribes in Canada, not only us, but Fort Peck, Fort Belknap, Rocky Boy. We all have sister tribes up north, and that we all came in against this because that may stop us from going back and forth to visit our relatives up north.
Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to speak to the bill.
Proceed.
And first would like to just say the good senator from Missoula. I was actually looking at Greg's comeback plan, and on his website it goes into protecting our families and communities, and it says stop sanctuary cities. So we are a nation of laws. We have seen too many state and local government choices to ignore existing federal immigration laws. In Congress, Greg voted to crack down on sanctuary cities. As governor, Greg will not permit sanctuary cities in Montana. So I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator McGillivray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support this bill strongly. I was in committee, so I did hear the testimony. And the League of Cities and Towns who testified against this bill, they typically do not represent the taxpayers in the city of Billings. As a matter of fact, sometimes they come out in opposing or supporting bills that are directly opposed to taxpayers and citizens in my city. And some religious leaders came in against this bill. There are a lot of them that don't support or that do support this kind of a bill. And I would also say that since one of the good senators brought up scripture, scripture says in the law that the alien must obey all the laws of Israel or they'd be exiled. So the point being is that if a illegal alien is in the state of Montana, then no city should provide sanctuary. That person should be exiled based on the laws of the United States and the state of Montana.
Senator Molnar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does the sponsor yield?
Sponsor, do you yield?
I yield.
Sponsor yields.
Thank you. Senator Regeer, I'm asking this because I don't know, and I think you might. Do we have a law in the books that says if the federal government comes to confiscate guns that local authorities can't turn over the concealed carry permit holders' names?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I'm not sure.
Senator Molnar, please stick on the bill.
I am. I know that's been tried several times. I don't know if it's passed or not. But that goes to my point, Mr. Chairman, that I would favor such a statute. That would make Montana cities or state a sanctuary state. I don't know of anybody on this side of the aisle that wouldn't vote for it. Mr. Chairman, Senator Regeer, would you agree that there are no left-wing and right-wing sanctuary cities issues?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I heard that little word issues at the end, and that kind of threw me.
Gun issues, immigration issues.
So, Mr. Chairman, Senator, could you rephrase the question again? Repeat it.
I'm going to let that slide for right now. Would you agree that the Supreme Court has ruled that local governments cannot be forced to help comply with federal law enforcement orders?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I'm not sure on that.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Geary, you can trust me on that one. So, final question.
Do you continue to yield?
I yield.
Okay. The penalty section on this goes to the taxpayers of the cities that might be caught up in this. But the jailer, the county commissioners, the city officials aren't arrested. They aren't fined. Their city is fined, so their taxpayers fined. Do you not find it odd that the person that's violating this doesn't have any penalty, but the people in the city, which had no say, are indeed receiving the penalty?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, yeah, I see what you're saying. Sure.
Do you agree that that is quite possibly an odd outcome of this bill?
Do you continue to yield?
I continue to yield. Mr. Chairman, Senator, it would appear that way.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'll address the bill. During our last election and the election before that and the election before that, because this body has continually tried to create sanctuary cities, people have been labeled as pro-illegal immigrant. My umbrage with all of those bills was it penalized people that had nothing to do with the outcome of the action, but the people that created the situation never even got a misdemeanor. That's improper. Further, I was trying to find a friend, so I was going through all the rosters of all the prisons in Montana, and somebody I hadn't talked to in a long time, and held for immigration came up a lot by various names. Immigration can go through those same things every day and see if somebody they're looking for is being held, show up with a warrant, and arrest them. They don't need this statute to tell that the county must notify or the jailer must notify. They just simply do their job and this goes away. That's an issue because the Supreme Court ruled, and I should have looked it up, that you cannot use local law enforcement to do federal enforcement because it wasn't appropriated for that. They weren't elected for that. Prinz versus was the case. Whoever it was, but Prinz was the sheriff down in Ravalli County. And he won. You can't force him to do gun registration or anything else. But you can't force these people either. So instead of saying, we're going to force you to do it, we're saying we will penalize you if you don't. I don't see the difference. It's an attempt to get around the law. You bring a law in here or a bill in here that says if you don't put these people's names on your jail roster, you're responsible. Then I'll vote for it. No, this won't be 31-19.
Senator Gillespie.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, promises will be short and sweet. Since I think it's 1983, we've been bringing young adults in on exchange programs and work programs. Not every year, but quite a few of the years since then. All been great young people, very properly vetted. We have friends down in Billings, raise sugar beets and silage and all that stuff, and they get young adults in, young families in even, on programs, and same deal. You know, they're vetted, they know who they're getting, they pay a little extra money, but it all works extremely well, and there's probably another couple, three programs very similar out there, but I'd say this is a great bill, and if you do it right, there's programs out there, and it just takes care of a whole lot of problems. So vote green.
Any other motion, discussion of the motion? Seeing none, Senator Regier, would you declare to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a few thoughts on this. A lot of bills we pass are strictly proactive. You could say that's part of this bill. Another, you heard all when it comes to cities and towns, all the religiously, what an exaggeration. got to be careful when you use that word all. What it gets down to is legal versus illegal. If you're here legally, fine. If you're here illegally, you should be worried. Vote green.
The question now arises in the motion to Senator Regeer that if this committee does rise and report after having consideration House Bill 200, it recommends that the same do concur in. As many in favor of motion signify by so did I. Those opposed say no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 30 senators vote aye and 20 senators vote nay.
37 senators have voted aye and 20 have voted no. House Bill 200 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 40. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 40, introduced by Curdy, a bill for an act entitled an act providing an exception to mandatory decontamination for vessels with ballast or bladders, amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history or title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, will you read the sections?
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of this committee, now before you, House Bill 40. What is your pleasure, Senator Flowers?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 40, that it recommend that the same be concurred in. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Flowers.
Senators, I bring you House Bill 40 at the request of the Environmental Quality Council. This revises House Bill 608, which we passed in the last session that required that all boats that have ballast be decontaminated. Decontamination did proceed during the calendar year 2020. It was conducted on 435 boats. It requires a high degree of temperature, 120 degrees, for about 2 minutes. Some boats have multiple ballasts that can cause a decontamination process to take up to 20 minutes, from 20 minutes to over one hour. It, in some cases, at our check station, has caused some major delays, and that's really the reason for this change. And this gives the check station some discretion that if boats present no risk, for example, if a boat has been in a Flathead Lake and goes back to Missoula for 2 days and then it comes back to Flathead Lake, it would not require that, or the discretion, the check station would have the discretion not to require the decontamination, and it would help to cure the problem with these check stations being really backed up. Again, if you don't remember 608, this was all about trying to ensure that we're not introducing invasive mussels into the state that could risk a huge economic threat to the state as well as the whole Columbia River Basin. That all stand for questions.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Flowers, do you care to close?
I close.
Senator closes. The question now arises in the motion of Senator Flowers that when this committee does rise and report after having consideration, House Bill 40 that recommends that it do concur in. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by stating aye. Those who oppose, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 41 senators vote aye and 9 senators vote nay.
41 senators have been voted aye, 9 have voted nay. The House Bill 40 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 22. The clerk will read the history of the title of the bill.
House Bill 22, introduced by Garner, a bill for an act entitled an act allowing the acceptance of in-kind services or materials in exchange for utilities easements on state lands used for armories or other military facilities, amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history of the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of this committee, you have now before you House Bill 22. What is your pleasure, Senator Cuff?
Mr. Chairman, I move when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 22 that to recommend the same do pass.
Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 22 comes about in particular because of a situation near Kalispell, Montana, just north of Kalispell, where there's a military building. And what this bill asks is very much right in the title, allow the acceptance of in-kind services or materials in exchange for utility easements on state lands used for armories or other military facilities, and provide an immediate date. And the armory there was built some time ago, operates on a well and a septic program. And there is a sewage line being extended out through there. And consequently, a trade has been arranged that will allow military fares to accept in-kind provision of services or materials for the easement across state property. And the armory has been annexed into the city of Kalispell to benefit from city sewer and water services. It's basically an easy trade, and I don't think I need to go into further details. If there are questions, I will, but it's a really common sense kind of a bill, a common sense solution. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Cuff, would you care to close? Senator closes. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Cuff that when this committee does rise and report after having consideration, House Bill 22, that it recommends that it do say concur in. As many of them are in favor of the motion, is signified by voting aye. Those who oppose, voting no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators have been voted aye, 0 have voted no. House Bill 22 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 29. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 29, introduced by Trabas, a bill for an act entitled an act adopting the most recent federal military laws, regulations, and codes applicable to the governance of the Montana National Guard, amending section and providing an applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history or title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 29. What is your pleasure, Senator Fox?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 29, that it recommend that the same be concurred in.
Senator Fox.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 29 is an act adopting the most recent federal military laws, regulations, and code that apply to the governance of the Montana National Guard. This reoccurring housekeeping bill allows Montana to adopt a state law, the most recent version of federal military laws and regulations, and apply them to the National Guard of this state, including the Uniform Code of Military Justice. This bill simply changes two dates, substituting October 1, 2021 for October 1, 2019. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator Howard.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to tell the body that this seems like a very simple bill, but every one of us knows what's going on in Washington, D.C. And I don't know that we want to just embrace everything they do. I think that what this should happen is that every one of their regulations should go through this body first. Thank you.
Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for the sponsor.
Is the sponsor yield?
Yield.
Yield, sponsor.
Senator Fox, do you have any past or present affiliation with the Montana National Guard?
Yes, I do. I've spent 21 years in the National Guard, retired as a captain in 2002.
Thank you very much, Senator Fox.
Senator Kerry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We heard this in state administration. The body here has seen this come before them each and every session. The reason that it comes before us is the federal and the state have to be cohesive, because when the guard is called up by the federal, they have to have the same latitude that they can work with. Mr. Chair.
Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Fox, do you care to close? Senator Fox closes. Now the question arises in the motion of Senator Fox that when this committee does rise and report after 100 consideration, House Bill 29, that it recommends that the same do be concurred in. Does any member in favor of the motion to be signified by voting aye? Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, record the vote. Ellsworth. Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 47 senators vote aye and 3 senators vote nay.
40 senators have voted aye, 3 senators have voted no. House Bill 29 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you in front of your consideration House Bill 76. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 76, introduced by Frazier, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising administrative provision of the Voluntary Employee Benefit Association Act that allows public employees to use unused leave for medical expenses on a tax-exempt basis, revising definitions, clarifying the applicability of federal law and what constitutes the plan document, clarifying account access and contribution provisions, revising death benefit provisions, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history of the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read sections.
Sections 1 through 7.
Members of the committee, now before you, House Bill 76. What is your pleasure, Senator Cuff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill number 76, that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Cuff?
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 76, which was heard in State Administration Committee, came out without any complete 8-0 vote, and has to do with allowing public employees to use unused leave for medical exempt expenses on a tax-exempt basis, clarifying applicable laws, etc. So, if you move to page 2, we'll just jump through the changes. Dependent means the tax-qualified dependent or child of the participant as determined under IRS, Internal Revenue Service Code. And the member means the employee whose work unit voted to establish the association. Participant means a member. Regulations have been adopted. Anyway, it's pretty simple, kind of a bill. And Mr. Chairman, I move a due pass.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Cuff, would you care to close? Senator closes. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Cuff that when this committee does rise report after having consideration House Bill 76 that it recommends the amendment be adopted. As many in favor of the motion signify by saying aye, those who voted no. Does anybody wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, report the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators have voted aye, 0 have voted no. House Bill 76 has been concurred in. Senator Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee rise and report.
You heard the motion of the Senator Smith. Is all in favor of saying aye? All opposed, say no.
Aye.
The ayes have it.
The Senate will be in order. The Secretary will read the report.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 308 and Senate Joint Resolution 13 do pass. House Bills 22, 29, 32, 33, 40, 76, 83, 100, 141, 200, and 290 be concurred in.
Senator Friedel.
I move to adopt the committee report.
Heard the motion, Senator Friedel, that the committee of the whole report be adopted. As many are in favor, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Solomon. Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 47 have voted yes, 3 have voted no.
47 senators haven't voted aye, and 3 senators haven't voted no. The Committee of the Whole report has been adopted. Thank you, Senator Friedel. Order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 297, introduced by Ellsworth, a bill for an act entitled Connect Montana Act to establish broadband deployment.
Senate Bill 297, having been read 3 several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Sayles, Senator Ankeny. Senator Ankeny. Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 42 have voted yes, 8 have voted no.
42 senators haven't voted aye, and 8 senators haven't voted no. Senate Bill 297 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 56, introduced by Logie, a bill for an act entitled Revised Tire Chain Laws to Provide for Enforcement.
House Bill 56, having been read 3 several times, question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 33 have voted yes, 17 have voted no.
33 senators haven't voted aye, and 17 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 56 passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 70, introduced by Homeland, a bill for an act entitled Revised State Suicide Prevention Program.
House Bill 70, having been read 3 several times, question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 70 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 77, introduced by Fitzgerald, a bill for an act entitled Revised Motor Carrier Laws.
House Bill 77, having been read 3 several times, question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish changes or vote? If not, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 1 has voted no.
49 senators haven't voted aye, and 1 senator haven't voted no. House Bill 77 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 130, introduced by Beattie, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Laws Related to Alternative Project Delivery Contracts.
House Bill 130, having been read 3 several times, question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 130 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 164, introduced by Keogh, a bill for an act entitled Revised Temporary Automatic Domestic Relations Orders.
Is it 130? We're at 133, I believe, is what I have down, instead of 164. Madam Secretary?
House Bill 133?
Yes.
It is sponsored by Senator Anderson, a bill for an act entitled an act for anti-littering signs paid for by donations.
House Bill 133, having been read 3 several times, question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Secretary will record the vote.
Senator Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 133 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 164, introduced by Keogh, a bill for an act entitled Revised Temporary Automatic Domestic Relations Orders.
House Bill 164, having been read 3 several times, question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? Senator Ankeny, Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 164 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 177, introduced by Garner, a bill for an act entitled Revised Licensure Requirements for Professions under Board of Behavioral Health.
House Bill 177, having been read 3 several times, question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 voted yes, 0 have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 177 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 214, introduced by Anderson, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Distribution of Horse Racing Gambling Fees.
House Bill 214, having been read 3 several times, question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member change his or vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 45 have voted yes, 5 have voted no.
45 senators haven't voted aye, and 5 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 214 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 256, introduced by Binkley, a bill for an act entitled Revised Child Restraint Laws.
House Bill 256, having been read 3 several times, question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 35 have voted yes, 15 have voted no.
35 senators haven't voted aye, and 15 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 256 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 313, introduced by Gillette, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Medical Examiner Coroner Laws.
House Bill 313, having been read 3 several times, question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Senator Ankeny. Senator Ankeny. Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 313 has passed the Senate.
That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, we'll go to our business number 12, announcements of committee meetings. Senator Regeer.
Mr. President, Senate Judiciary will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, four bills.
Senator Hovind.
Mr. President, Senate Tax will meet tomorrow morning, 9 a.m.
Senator Gauthier.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Local Government today, 3 o'clock, three bills and executive action.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Business and Labor tomorrow, 9 o'clock, room 422.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Natural Resources today, 3 o'clock, three bills.
Senator Howard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Public Health will meet at 2:40. We have executive action, and then we will have four bills. Thank you.
Senator Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Education today, 2:45, we'll do a little executive, and then we've got four bills.
Okay. Senator Kerry.
Thank you, Mr. President. State Administration will meet at 3 o'clock today. Room 335, we have four bills, and we'll try to do some executive action. And Mr. President, if I may be off and out for the purpose of introducing the pages.
Senator Kerry.
Thank you, Mr. President. This week, we're fortunate to have a full crew. Shani Fox, if you could stand, please. Shani is a senior at Big Fort High School, where she's a varsity cheerleader and plays varsity volleyball. She belongs to the National Honor Society and is running for valedictorian of her graduating class. She's sponsored by Senator Keenan. Just remain standing, if you would. Allie Richner. Allie is a senior at Big Fork High School, where she is a cheerleader and involved in swimming, volleyball, and track. She is thinking about going to Utah and studying dermatology after graduation. Allie is the daughter of a former legislator, Scott Richner, and Allie is sponsored by Senator Keenan. Brianna Rapp. Brianna is a junior homeschooler from Great Falls, where she plays basketball and volleyball for Great Falls Homeschool Bulldogs. Brianna enjoys cooking, bowling, all kinds of crafts, and spending time with her at her grandparents' ranch. She's also active in her church. Brianna is sponsored by her grandfather. Really? Senator Heinbaugh? Wow, I'm going to have trouble with this even now. Kyria Sylvan is a junior at her home school in Park City. She is dedicated to horsemanship. She trains horses and is active in dressage. She enjoys rock climbing and plays five instruments. Kiara loves Jesus and is a member of the worship team at her church. She is sponsored by her grandfather. Another Senator Howard. Mr. Chair.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I think by now people realize if I want to vote no, I vote no, even if I'm the only no on the board. However, there's a little story happened today, not once, but twice. Now, St. Patrick's Day is this week, within just a couple of days. And I want to warn everybody, there was a little leprechaun slipped up in between these two desks today. And when I was not looking, he hit the red button on House Bill 290 when I intended to vote yes.
All right, let me go back to motions first without objection. So, Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
No, you make your motion.
Okay. So, I would like to change my vote on House Bill 290 from a no to a yes. And doggone it, he did it again six bills later on House Bill 100.
Without objection, so ordered, one at a time here. All right, Senator Cuff.
I would also like to change my vote from a no to a yes on House Bill 100, and I've chased the leprechaun on down the line, so look out.
Without objection, so ordered, and I believe the basketball is in Secretary Miller's office, so
that's going to be costly.
So we look forward to seeing you over there.
The leprechaun will pay in gold. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Must have been cranky today, Senator Cuff. That's a lot of no votes for you. So, Senator Asp.
May I be off the record now of the journal?
Senator, ask.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, I wore my sheep tie today in honor of the women on the Lady Herders team from Sweetgrass County High School, who took on all comers this year, went 24-0, and are the state champions of the state of Montana Class B.
Seeing no further announcements, Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move the Senate stand adjourned until the hour of 1 p.m. March 16th, the 52nd legislative day.
Heard the motion of Senator Smith. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The Senate will reconvene at 1 p.m. on March 16th.